You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
This is the Wausau Business Show. And now, here are your Granite Peak Shredding, Muskie Hunting, Melissa Langban Lovin', Brad Emanuel Groupies, Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Wisconsin, USA. This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
Hopefully all you lovers had a great Valentine's Day yesterday.
Yeah, romance is still in the air, I think.
It's still lingering in the air, everybody.
Fresh coat of snow out there today.
Did you know birth rates in Marathon County, speaking of romance and love, birth rates in Marathon County are dropping.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's worried about it.
Okay. Well, hopefully Valentine's Day helped.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys did your job yesterday, everybody.
9 months from now, we'll find out if it worked. But any idea why they're dropping in Marathon County?
People aren't making love as much as they used to, apparently. And,
sad.
Families used to have 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 kids.
Yeah, that's right.
And now they're good with one or two.
Yeah. So let's pump some kids out, Marathon County.
Let's go. Who's coming up on the show this week, Paul?
Oh, we're excited to have Kathleen and Hannah from Krieger's Bakery on the show this week.
The iconic Krieger's Bakery in downtown Wausau, the number one donut shop in Wisconsin. I think it's the number one bakery in Wausau, but it's for sure the number one donut in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're about to celebrate their 61st birthday coming up this year.
They were on Fox Television, kind of like Ross Jurgle, except in a different capacity. They were on not a reality show, but it was like a contest show.
Yeah, it was a baking show, really.
We're more than just two moms from the Midwest. Big back there. Yeah, you like it?
Are you having such a hard time not laughing at us?
Both of our husbands are in the military,
and we bought a bakery together. We want our kids to like think they got the most rad moms in the world.
Crime Scene Kitchen.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know what that was, they were put in this almost impossible task of going to a bakery crime scene, if you will, where there was stuff scattered everywhere, and they had to sort of reverse engineer it and come up with the original recipe, and the closest contestants to do so went on to the next round, and they'll tell us a little bit about that coming up.
Yeah, so they'll be like, they'd have like pudding. Here, let's listen to a little bit of it.
This is the Crime Scene Kitchen, where we combine humanity's two loves, baked goods and criminal investigations.
Oh my gosh, no.
There's something in the food processor.
Pears, oranges.
Using only the clues left behind in this kitchen, they must figure out what was baked here.
It's lime curd.
It'd also be a duck foie.
Big brioche donut.
Then recreate it in a nerve-wracking race against the clock.
Big, big, big.
30 seconds!
Joel, you're giving me a heart attack.
The right decisions get them closer to winning $100,000. Make the wrong moves, and they'll have to buy their bus ticket home.
Yeah, like I said, so they'd have like pudding or chocolate or something, just remnants of it in the garbage can, and then they have, you know, a banana peel sitting on the counter.
Like someone, like a burglar came in and destroyed the scene.
Yeah, and you'd have to figure it out based on the evidence that was laying around the kitchen that was on the TV show, and figure out what that person that was there doing the crime before you came in was making, and then you'd have the ingredients, but you wouldn't have the recipe. The recipe would have to be based on the evidence that you see around the kitchen.
Right.
A sprinkle of nutmeg over here, some flour over there, some limes on the table, and you'd have to use all your talents to come up with something to bake.
So you'd have to be a detective and a baker at the same time.
Right. And then they would judge you, and it was, the eliminations came, and did the girls make it past the first round? Let's listen.
Okay.
Hannah and Kathleen.
Come on. We're panicking over here.
You're panicking?
And Joel walks in your kitchen.
Yep. I am, like, really struggling to, like, get oxygen. So I'm going to be honest. I'm like, a little bit fangirl star struck right now. Just a little bit. I'm a big fan of Joel McHale. I, like, fangirl. I, like, used to watch The Soup every night before bed. I, like, can't believe he's standing next to me. First time in my life I didn't have a whole lot to say.
So what are you making?
A lemon chiffon pie.
Right. Why in the world did you think it was a lemon chiffon pie?
Because we saw the lemon juice, the egg whites in the fridge, okay. And we're going to put the whipped cream on top. There was the zester, the lemons in the trash. We are making a lemon chiffon pie with a flaky pie crust topped with whipped cream and lemon garnish.
A chiffon is like a cream pie. It has the meringue folded into the curd. Oh, I hope lemon chiffon pie is right.
Okay, guys, it's going to be fine.
Okay, your hair looks awesome.
Thank you.
The team that performed the worst in this elimination bake and who's going home tonight is... Davian and Donovan.
All right, so we're going to talk to Kathleen and Hannah coming up on the Wausau Business Show.
Exciting. I'm getting hungry.
So Matt Barnes, he's the chief of police for the city of Wausau.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service, Matt. Chief. Officer.
That's chief to you, sir.
But we were trying to get a hold of him, and it didn't work out. But my main question was, you know, we're going in. We have to dispel this notion that, because you can't go into a donut shop.
Right.
And not
run into a police officer?
Well, I mean, I think it's a vicious misnomer about police officers that they're always hanging out in donut shops.
Well, where does that even come from? What's the genesis of that?
Right. What is the origin story of that?
Questions, yeah.
So I thought we'd call the chief of police of the city of Wausau and just say, you know, we were in Krieger's.
Yeah.
I've been in Krieger's a lot. I've never seen a police officer in Dunkin' Donuts in the city of Wausau or at Krieger's or at any other establishment
right.
that sells donuts. Cops are healthy people, specimens of health. And they're
this
not
reputation isn't accurate, I don't
right,
think.
Right.
I mean, they're not in donut shops constantly.
Yeah. So, Matt, if you're listening, give us a call during the episode and maybe we'll put you on here and you can speak for police officers globally.
Our lines are open, Matt. Give us a jingle.
715. 5-9 Wausau.
How'd we get that?
Wow. Can't get a number better than that if you're broadcasting in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Right.
All right, we'll be back with Kathleen and Hannah from Krieger Bakery.
All right.
It's the Wausau Business Show.
Steak and Pub to the beer at Day's Bolodome. This is the Wausau Business Show.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center in downtown Wausau with great restaurants, Char Grill House, Lemongrass, Chow, Jalapenos, great pizza at Polito's, subs at Jimmy John's, food and drinks at the Pinery Coffee Shop, unwind at the Chocolate Cafe, stop by Forward Beverage, massages at the Reflexology Center, shop at Magnolia Soap and Bath, Isaac's Fine Apparel, Tanya's Bridal, get a trim at Modern Gents, find something classy at Campbell Haynes, plan your special event at the Jefferson Street Inn. Experience the Third Street Lifestyle Center, downtown Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show.
Close your eyes, give me your hand, darling. Do you feel my heart beating? Do you understand? This
why we did this, I just say that you have to be a certain brand of crazy. It's a prerequisite.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Crazy.
We've got Kathleen Regelman and Hannah McAvoy on the Wausau Business Show.
I'm excited.
Yes. Krieger's Bakery, the new owners. Do we still say new owners, I think? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, because what year was it that you guys bought it?
2021.
Yeah, it's been three. It was 3 years in November.
Okay, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And you're celebrating Krieger's 60th, roughly, birthday?
Yeah, I think
he's 61 in May, right?
Don't know.
Yeah. And they just...
We'll fact check that.
Yeah, no. Sometimes we just are fast and loose with the facts. We like to fashion ourselves as reporters. But what, did the Krieger family, was it a husband and wife that used to own this, or?
A brother and sister.
Okay.
Took it over from their parents.
And they wanted to retire then?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yes. This is a hard business, yeah. And I think, you know, after many, many, many years of...
Decades
yeah. of it, I mean, you get burnt out, and yeah. it's time to just be done, which, like, we totally get. And we yeah. say every day.
Do you have any announcements to make right now?
All right, Krieger's is closing down, everybody. We're out of here. Let's go, Paul.
But we do say that, like, the moment that we don't absolutely love this and feel yeah. passionate about this and want to wake up every day and do it, when it starts feeling like a job, yeah. we have to be done. But yeah. we don't feel that yet.
We don't. So. When you're doing something with your best friend, it's great. And yep. we always have a good time. So
that's what Paul and I say about the Wausau Business
that's
Show.
That's right.
When it starts feeling like a job, let's
we'll
just stop.
We'll hang it up.
Yeah. But you guys have been best friends for how long?
Oh, actually not as long as people think. People think we've like grown up together. I don't know how long.
Yeah, it's probably been six years. Kathleen and I met at a mom's group when I was pregnant with my youngest. Uh-huh. And yeah, we connected right away and...
Now, what, you both were coincidentally into baking or what?
Yeah, that's like, what I wanted
wait,
to ask.
No.
Wait,
no.
Did you see? I had to rethink a lot of my things. Do you edit this?
No editing. We do not edit.
Okay. Well, maybe you can understand this.
Okay.
When there's two people who are similar and maybe four people who are similar in this room, I don't know. It's like you sit down and you're like, oh, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And yeah. we just like bounce ideas off of each other all day long. And it was just like we would get out of control. We just spit out of control about all the things we could possibly do with
yeah.
our lives.
Yeah.
And I mean, essentially how it ended up was I always make New Year's resolutions for myself.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make like a fantastic cake.
Okay.
Like a three-tiered cool one. And it took me a while to not be terrible at it.
Okay.
But once I started getting better at it, I would bring them to our mom's group and she would be like, oh, that's cool. And then she was yeah. like, should I also do this? Because she like grew up baking with
yeah.
her mom.
I did.
And
yeah.
so kind of like on our weekends, we would just like mess around with it. And then, you know, we kind of got pretty good at it. And then one of our other friends was like, I dare you to start a business. And we were like, okay.
Yeah.
And,
so
you know,
happened on a dare.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. Dare accepted.
Yeah. Yes. Kathleen made my youngest's first birthday cake.
Yeah.
Remember? You did. And you brought it to the mom's group.
Uh-huh.
I was super overwhelmed in life. And I was like, can you make my kid's birthday cake
yeah.
for me? And she was like, sure. She brought it to the mom's group. And I took it home and I celebrated my youngest's first birthday. And then after that, we were kind of like, maybe other people would buy these if we did this. Yeah. And we kind of ran with this big idea that we thought we could do something different that other people weren't doing in town.
Yeah. So. Wow. And then Krieger's became for sale, or did you approach them and were like, hey,
no, it's even
you guys sick of this yet? Or
we actually baked out of the homeless shelter first.
Yeah. Bridge Street. There was Bridge Street Mission, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were baking out of Bridge Street Mission and that space just wasn't working like with our lives and our schedules. And we tried looking for a different commercial kitchen to bake out of. And then we saw that Krieger's was for sale.
Where did you see Krieger's was for sale?
We Googled commercial kitchens to bake in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah.
Timing's everything.
Yeah. Krieger's had been for sale for a little bit because there was COVID happened, which,
never heard of it.
a lot of
I currently have it.
A lot of businesses struggled during that time, right? And then there was also a lot of road work, probably I think the year previous, that like hurt this business.
So they went from this construction zone right into COVID.
Yes.
And it's like a double whammy.
Yes, yeah. It was for them. And like I said, they've been doing this for so long and we're, you know, essentially it's exhausting. Yeah. I mean, we're waking up so early.
I was going to ask. You don't look like you wake up early.
Oh, that's really nice. Maybe this is not a video.
It's midnight for them actually right now.
I mean, we wake up so early and, you know, between the two of us, we have 7 children and it is...
Exhausting.
So exhausting. It's so exhausting.
I thought it was easier when you had more kids. Paul and I have 2.
Yeah, when do they start taking care of each other?
Yeah. We'll let you know when they start doing that. But, you know, so I think it had been up for sale for a few years, maybe a year or two. Yeah. And again, I don't know if anybody was crazy enough to like be like, I want that to be my life.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we were excited. And
okay, I am from Wausau originally, right? Yeah. So I had known about Krieger's and I knew it was a staple to this community.
Yeah. Iconic.
Yes, it totally is. For sure. And obviously Kathleen's not from here, but we just kind of went into this knowing that this community loves this place.
100%.
And we saw so much potential in ways that we could kind of expand and grow and just do really neat things here that we kind of like took the plunge without thinking.
Okay. I mean, we say often ignorance really is bliss, because I think if we would have known all the things, we would have been like, oh, absolutely not. We're not
too big of a risk.
No, but
too
even just
scary,
like,
or we don't know what we're doing or how will we do it, or, you know.
Or like, how are we going to function in our everyday lives? How are we going to still be moms? How are we going to still like make snacks for school? How
when are we going to sleep?
Yeah. Correct, correct.
Now so, the snacks are baked good, so it's fine.
But I think that there was the potential of this place going away. Like they would have probably had to close their doors. And so when we looked into it, we were like, okay, like if there are 2 people who can, you know, give this place mouth to mouth resuscitation
and energize it,
we can do it. We can do it. And I mean, that was kind of our main initiative when we came in. We were like, what this place needs is a positive attitude in front.
Yeah.
People need to come in here and feel like they're welcome and that this is like a cool, exciting place to be.
Well, you've accomplished that.
And like, that was our main focus. And so like a lot of the, I mean, we still do a lot of the baking and a lot of the donuts and all those things, but we, especially in the first year or two, it was, we need to have a presence here that people feel. And when they come in the door, they feel like, I want to come back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the biggest things we always remind ourselves of is, what do we like to experience when we go somewhere, right? Yeah. Like, what do we want to receive when we go somewhere that's going to make us come back?
Right.
And that's always what we think. Like when we go visit other towns and, you know, visit different bakeries, we're like, what about our experience there was so good that makes you want to come back? And that's what we try to do for people here.
It's not just the amazing food itself, but the whole experience.
It is. It is. Like, you can have an amazing product, but your experience is really bad and you're going to be like, well, I don't really want to go back there.
Yeah. Kathleen, what brought you to Wausau in the first place?
So we moved here from California. I grew up in Appleton, and my parents moved to Wausau a handful of years ago from Appleton to take one step closer to retire up north in the Minocqua area.
Oh.
So my husband was in the Marine Corps, and we left California in San Diego. We left San Diego and didn't really know where to go. And my parents were here, and I had too many babies too quickly, and I like needed my mommy. So. So I ended up, my husband and I moved here. We had no jobs. We had nothing. We were just like, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And now my parents finally retired up north. So my parents aren't here anymore, but
they're both Minocquabats now.
They are. So they're retired up there. But that's what brought us here, is that we just needed the support of, like, we lived in California for many years. And when that season was finally done for us, we just like never had the support. And so we were like, we need to be somewhere where we can at least, you know, have somebody help us with literally anything.
So. Right, right. Do your parents ever help out here now?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, my dad has done a lot in terms of maintenance and stuff like that. He's like, when they moved up there, he built his own house up there. So he's like a real handy guy. And he like helps us a lot here with a lot of the things maintenance wise. And then my mom has been like super fantastic. And she comes in every week to watch my youngest.
Nice.
So that like I can actually function.
You're doing a great job functioning. Let me hand it to you.
I don't know. Are we?
Hannah, you boomeranged back to Wausau. Is that right?
I did.
Where were you before you came back?
Yeah, I lived in the Twin Cities for a number of years, went to college there. Then I lived in Guatemala for about 4 years. And then when I moved back to the United States, I moved back here because I still had family here. I have a sister here and a brother and my mom are here.
And what did you do in Minneapolis and Guatemala?
I went to college. And then after college, I went to cosmetology school. I worked in a salon there and then worked in a salon in Guatemala and then came back here and had lots of children.
Yeah. And Kathleen, were you what was your background?
Oh, this is funny.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So my husband and I met in Australia. We were exchange students, and then I went to college in Philadelphia.
Philly, congratulations, yes. Eagles.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
We'll get you next year, asses.
So I went to college in Philly for exercise physiology.
Okay.
So, you know, I was like doing personal training and all that thing. So like my joke now is like I was helping people get fit and like now I'm helping people get fat.
Well, thank you both for your efforts.
That
and
took a wild turn. Yeah.
Which group is happier than the other group?
I mean, you don't need to ask. We all know. There's a lot of joy in here.
So what time do you guys actually wake up in the morning? Do you ever sleep? What's the routine when you own a bakery and you're a baker?
Oh, I mean, every day is different, and we rotate so that we're That is new. Yeah, we have kind of established a new schedule, but basically our wake-up times are between 3:30 and 4.
And then you come in, and you're here on the job at 4:15, 4:30.
Yes.
You're starting to bake right away. And
never in 1,000 years did I think I'd be standing over 385 degrees with fry sticks flipping donuts.
That is what I do.
No, but oddly, both of us super enjoy it. And we like almost fight about it. Like, I think I should do it. Yeah. I think I'm going to do that
today. And how many donuts a day are you guys pumping out?
Yeah, okay. It starts off fewer in the beginning of the week, which we probably do around, I'm going to guess, 35, 40 dozen. But by Saturday, it's probably closer to 90.
Yeah, 90 to 100 dozen, depending on the time of year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have certain times that I feel like we need to make more. Mm-hmm. In the summer, it's a little bit less, but, you know, around 90 to 100 dozen.
Yeah, because you were saying ladies, girls, women don't really want to come in, and guys too, in the summer when it's 90 degrees and humid outside and they're maybe going to the beach and eat a donut beforehand. They don't feel like doing that.
Feels their thinnest after loading with carbohydrates.
But your solution to that, as good entrepreneurs, is you have an announcement that's in the works?
I mean, like, we've been working on it. We're hopefully going to roll it out this summer, but, you know, donuts is what people come here for. Yeah. Our donut is fantastic. And so we're like, let's just add on to something that we do already well. So what we really want to do for summer when it's hot is add ice cream to a donut.
Wouldn't that be good? That's exciting. My kids love it.
Yeah.
I don't just come here for the donuts. I like to come here for the fire in the hole, personally. Have you ever had the fire in the hole, Paul?
You've told me all about it. I feel like I have.
It's my favorite. Before we go to the Y with the kids, come in here, have a fire in the hole. Let me just tell everybody what's in a fire in a hole. It's jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, and your choice of meat, sausage or bacon, on a
Kaiser roll.
Yeah. And it's the best. Okay, so somewhere along the line, do you guys make the bread here too?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
You're each individually doing all the bread and all the donuts every morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just that's a one-person job?
It's a team effort for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the stuff, we do prep a day ahead of time, right?
Okay.
We prep a day ahead of time, roll the dough into the freezer, so that way in the morning when it comes out, then we can proof it and bake it off.
Okay.
It would be too much to do that all at the same time. We used to have overnight bakers,
uh-huh.
but we kind of changed the schedule in that sense.
Because
so
you don't nobody wants to work overnight, and you can't struggle to hire people.
Do you have an answering machine?
Yes. Yeah, so sorry. Yes.
Okay. Do you need to get that?
No. Oh, okay. We're closed.
Okay. All right. We're not working.
They bet it's 3 a.m. Give them a break.
And you sell Ross Jergel, who was on last weekend. You sell his coffee here. I noticed.
Oh, yes, cool. We do. Yeah. That's also in the works. The espresso machine to kind of amp up our coffee situation.
Okay, so. But Ross Jergel's coffee. Answering machine. Can I walk over here? This is a real.
Perfect. Oh my gosh. This poor sap who's going to be answering.
Did they hang up?
They hung up. They were like, they know you're listening.
Yeah. But that's a real answering machine. You don't see those very often. But Ross's coffee over here is the Krieger Bakery blend.
So we originally started selling just a few of his blends. And then after talking to him, we've gotten to like get to know him and become friends with him. Yeah. He's fantastic. And he made
a signature blend just for the bakery.
Yeah.
So.
Sisu coffee.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he's doing something with Dan over at Timekeepers.
Yes.
He's taking over Wausau.
He has some tricks up his sleeve that are going to be really good. Yeah.
So this is an exclusive blend that he's roasting just for you guys?
It's just for the bakery. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very cool. And somewhere along the line, you guys just stumbled into a television show on Fox.
Oh, my gosh.
On Fox.
Yes. Yeah.
And how did you guys get involved with that?
Okay. So that was only maybe 4 months after we had bought the bakery. Mm-hmm. So it felt really intense right away. It was like a lot to take on. We like cried in the freezer a lot in the beginning. And then on top of it, I got a message over Instagram from a producer from Fox, and they were like, do you want to be on the show? And I was like, is this satire? Like,
are you serious?
Who is this? Yes.
We definitely thought it was a prank.
Yeah, we were like, this is, you know, you get a lot of like junky things.
Yeah. Right. You thought it was spam.
Yeah. And so a producer was like, here's my number, give us a call. And so we were like, okay, I guess we'll call them and see
what's it going to hurt.
Yeah. Sure. And they told us the show, and we were like, is that real? And we looked that up, and that certainly was real. And so then they were like, okay, we want to interview you. And there was a lot of series of interviews. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had reached out and found us just through social media, and they really liked our story and what we had done.
Jumping into the deep end of the pool. Look at these two lunatics.
With weights on. Yeah. And seven children. Those are the weights.
I didn't think so. So they set us up to interview. We had to meet with like a culinary like specialist, which was hilarious.
To see if you can actually really cook.
Yeah, but
or bake.
Their questions were so hilarious, and like we tried to take it as serious as possible. Uh-huh. We did, but like it was tough.
What was a ridiculous question?
So like this is my favorite story. They said to us, because you know they're doing French pastry, they're doing all these things, and we're like home bakers who like made cake and like turned out to be kind of good at, and then like. You know, bought our hometown bakery. Yeah. Like, this isn't, we're not doing French pastry here. Yeah. But they were like, can you explain to us what a Charlotte Russe is? And Hannah says, it was a women's clothing store in the mall in the 90s.
I can tell you probably shopped there.
Sure. And they had to sign you at the moment.
Yeah,
right?
They were like,
you guys are in.
Perfect for TV.
And this is TV gold. You could see, because we're like FaceTiming him basically. You could see him like trying to make, like keep his face straight, being like, And so we just kind of like rolled with it. And after we got off that interview, we looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, we are not going to be on that show. And so they had sent us all this paperwork, all these legal documents, all these things. And, you know, we were busy here drowning and we didn't get to any of the paperwork. And the producer calls us back and is like, can you please fill out that paperwork?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, well, like we like blew our interview. So like, and also like we're struggling right now. And they were like, oh, no. Like Fox loves you so much. Like, please fill out the paperwork.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay. And then the next thing we had to do was they gave us an assignment essentially where like we had to follow all these directions, make this cake. It had to look a certain way. It had to have fondant on it. It had to do this. It had to do that. All these rules. We had 24 hours to make it. We had to film ourselves making it, send it in, send us with a picture of it so they knew that we made it.
Yeah.
And it was spring break during this one day. Okay. And both of our husbands were gone on military training. We had all 7 of our kids home on spring break. They're probably here at the bakery. Mm-hmm. And they wanted us to do fondant and all this stuff. And we were like, okay, here's the deal. We're not going to go to the store and get fondant with our 7 10 kids. Yeah. So like, we're going to do our best and we're going to like try to hit the criteria as best as possible, yeah. but like we're not going
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
And so we did it. We sent it in and it didn't follow any of the rules. And they were like, you're in. Yeah.
We're like, okay. Maybe it was a test to see if it was a rule breaker, you know?
Yeah, we broke all the rules. Yeah.
So then what? You go out to LA and record this show for, because you were on for a full season, right?
Well, yeah,
it was in Atlanta.
It was in Atlanta. They filmed it in Atlanta this year or that year. And it was, you left after you were eliminated.
Okay.
So our goal was to make it through the first episode.
Okay.
We were like, we did as it. Long as
all
we
right.
are on one time.
The first one's eliminated, yeah. we'll feel okay.
Yeah.
We'll feel okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, we thought, oh gosh, we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be like a vacation. We're not going to be around any of our children. We're going to be put up in a hotel. We're going to yeah. be drove around in trucks. It's going to be great. Yeah. We got to the airport and we're like, okay, but like, are we going to be kidnapped? Like, this still doesn't feel yeah. like it's this legitimate.
This is wrong.
Yeah. So yeah. we, it was very stressful. The whole thing was very stressful. I mean, like, handing your food to a Michelin star chef makes your guts turn to liquid.
I've been doing this for 4 months outside of my kitchen. Yeah.
If you this, can't tell that we looked like we wanted to puke, you know.
It was, and we were like, and everybody who was on that show had been on multiple like baking shows before.
Yeah, they took it very seriously.
Yeah, but they were also like, oh, this is your first one. This one's tough. And we were like, because it wasn't
hard.
It wasn't like, give us your interpretation of a s'more. It was like, walk in there, we're going to give you red herrings, and this is going to be absolute garbage, and just like, it has lemon in it, it could be 1,000 things, good luck.
Yeah.
And it was so hard and it was so stressful, and the whole time we were like, I don't think we're having fun.
Do they give you directions? Like, is there a recipe book or anything to go with it? Or
there, you were allowed to bring certain recipes that they gave you, but okay. no recipe was anything that we made.
It would be like a basic recipe. Yeah. Like, you could bring a basic recipe for like a cake.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually not that helpful when they're like wild things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then also that kind of threw you off because you're like, oh, I brought a recipe for a vanilla cake. That must be it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also have never been in that scenario before where other people have. So I don't know. It just felt very stressful.
It was stressful, but...
Did they pay you?
Yeah.
They paid for us to fly there. They paid for our hotel. They paid for all of our food. And they paid us while we were there.
Weekly. Wow, cool.
Yeah. And we were there for almost 4 weeks.
Yeah.
What did your kids and your husbands do while you were gone on vacation, this high-stress vacation?
So my husband had been gone for 6 months at the time.
Okay.
He was on military duty.
Deployment, yeah.
He was gone. So, again, like I said, I have, like, super supportive, wonderful parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're going to go on national television. And my parents were like, we'll move into your house.
Oh, okay.
My parents moved into my house and took care of my kids for 4 weeks.
Wow.
So that we could do that. And actually, my husband, he was stationed in Georgia.
Oh.
So I hadn't seen him in months.
Yeah.
And I actually got to see him a few times because he like drove to Atlanta to see us and give us pep talks while we were like, oh, we are not well. So it was kind of nice.
The Crime Scene Kitchen is on Hulu now. It was on Fox. Uh-huh. And then you can see it on Hulu right now. Mm-hmm. Crime Scene Kitchen season 2.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, the best season. Did Kriegers kind of give you or teach you any of their recipes prior, like, to you taking over ownership, or how did that work?
Yeah, we still utilize all the recipes that they were doing before. You know, we have added a few of our own things, but otherwise, all the donor recipes are all still the same.
Very cool. Well, let's go back in the kitchen and check it out. How about it?
Hey,
you can give us a little tour?
Yeah, where the famous donuts are made.
It's a lot bigger back there than people think. It's a small little storefront, but it goes
exciting.
Back.
Yeah.
Does anybody live upstairs?
No.
Yeah, all of our small children.
Oh, okay. They just hang out up there?
Yeah, we call it bakery daycare. When our kids are sick, they get to go upstairs and they like hang out there, and you know, we can check on them, and it's like actually kind of nice as like business owners to like, we can still function and take care of our children and still be moms.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So
now we're back in the kitchen here. Very clean.
Bigger than I thought it would be.
It still goes.
Extremely clean. Like to point point out the cleanliness.
Okay, yes, thank you. This is the proof box. So this is where all the donuts and bread get their little steam bath.
Nice and warm in there.
It's the yeast sauna here. You probably will never see a proof box this big ever again.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because we proof a lot of things. Most people, like if they're making like cinnamon rolls or something at home, they literally will just put a towel over the bowl.
This is a walk-in.
Like a room.
This is a walk-in.
Beautiful.
So we can fit a lot of racks in here and do a lot of proofing at the same time.
Okay. How many donuts fit in there if you put all donuts in there?
Thousands.
It's big.
And now we've got
this is one of the two ovens.
It's a Model 75 from AJ Fish Oven Company out of Beloit, Wisconsin.
It's probably one of the oldest ovens you've ever seen. Our favorite thing is when people come in here to repair equipment, this is like a museum to them.
Okay.
They are like, we've never seen such old equipment in our life before.
People take selfies with them.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get a selfie with them before we leave.
Like they come in to repair, they've been like, I've been working on ovens for my whole life. Yeah, and you see three grown men taking selfies. Yeah.
It looks like something out of like 1962.
Maybe 1862.
I don't know if they make these anymore. Probably not. But we were told that it is one of the largest and oldest ovens in the state.
Oh, yeah. Or in Marathon County.
Well, that wouldn't be hard.
I'm sure.
Let's go with the state.
We don't fact check here. We already learned that. Okay.
We're not reporters.
Yeah. No. But anyways, I could put you in there and roll you around.
I mean,
you really could go all the way around if you were
put a pig in there.
Yeah. Like big pig.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah. I mean, we have like dropped things in there and had to roll ourselves onto the shelf and lower ourselves down it's claustrophobic and upsetting, but it's true.
Yeah, it looks like something that belongs at the Marathon County Fair almost. Like a Ferris wheel, So it's a Ferris wheel looking oven.
For the baked goods.
And what do you all put in there then? How does that work?
So this is where we will bake all the cookies, all the pastries, all
cakes.
It's mostly pastry. Okay. So this one right here then.
This one looks equally as old, by the way. Am I wrong? Okay.
Correct.
This is from the beginning.
This is Baker Boy.
We like him. So this one's a little smaller. Still could fit, you know, we could still roll you in there. Okay. But this is bread.
Eat our donuts or else.
This one gets a browner crust and a crustier top, I guess.
Because it's hotter.
So. Okay, very cool. So. But obviously the donuts get deep fried, right?
Correct.
So. They do, yeah. That's our smallest piece of equipment.
All right. Okay, beautiful kitchen. Look at these floors. Yeah. Beautiful.
I know, aren't they great?
Gorgeous wood floor. Yeah.
So this is what would be considered a giant rolling pin.
Yeah, it's called a sheeter.
Sheeter. So this is where we roll out all the donut dough, all the cookie dough, all the dough, every dough. So this thing.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Hello. Races right through there.
You could use this thing at Sam's Pizza.
So, you could. You set this to however
thin you want the dough.
Or thick you want the dough. So all of our donuts have a different thickness. A ring is thicker than a Long John. Okay. So, we change them all for each one, and go back and forth, and that's the big rolling pin, and then we put these on these big wood benches, and that's where we hand cut all the donuts every day.
All right.
Does someone catch it on the end then? This looks like it's going pretty fast.
Doing it themselves, Paul.
We've gotten pretty good at it that we can one-hand it, grab it, stop it, throw it on the bench.
Okay.
So, you know, it takes a little practice, and we've been practicing.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
This is where all the hot dog buns and brat buns and loaves of bread get rolled through there to create their round shape.
Yeah, I noticed one of your reviews on Yelp recently said that the guy was looking for a foot long hot dog bun, and he couldn't find any, and he called Krieger's, and they were the best.
We did make him his foot long hot dog buns.
He gave you 5 stars and had a lot of nice things.
I haven't even been on Yelp in a long time, so I'm glad to see.
Yeah, I go deep on my reviews.
A foot long bun isn't stock item for you.
We did have a guy who had a bet with his friend that we could make the biggest Long John for him.
Okay,
and it was the most comical thing. We had to have two of us us flip the Long John in the fryer.
How big was it?
It was ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know.
It took up the whole length of the fryer.
Okay.
15 inches, maybe. It was
all right. Let's.
He laughed really hard during it.
What did he fill it with?
He didn't. He just wanted to prove a point to his friend.
Okay. All right. Cool.
We could do it.
How much does something like that cost?
I don't remember.
Okay. $20.
Yeah, probably. These are two of the biggest, oldest mixers you've ever seen in your life. But yeah,
this is your husband and one of your
yes,
child. Hey, what's your name?
Just leave me. Oh, she's by. She's running away from Bakery Daycare.
She doesn't want to get
sprinting.
Yeah. So this is where all of the dough gets mixed up. The biggest batch of dough we did was 160 pounds of dough.
Of donut dough?
Of donut dough, yeah. But that still would have been a couple batches in here. But yeah, you could fit a small child in there as well.
Yeah. All right. Good thing she ran away.
These also are super dangerous. Once they go, it's watch your appendages.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it'll rip them off.
And is all the dough, so you use the same kind of dough recipe for all the bread and everything like that, but is it the same recipe that you use for the donuts?
What do you mean?
The same dough recipe?
No, we do a sweet dough for the donuts.
Okay.
It's different from the bread dough. Yeah, they're all different.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. Well, lots of different doughs going on.
Dough, dear, female. Yes.
You can tell these are all. Yes.
Wow, these are the recipe books from Krieger's.
Yeah, so that would have been the original owner.
Don Krieger.
Don's handwriting. Or maybe
coconut
Tina's.
Bars, date nut bars.
Yeah.
Why did they start Krieger's in the first place? Where did they get all these recipes from?
I guess I don't really know exactly how it started, but I do know out of eight.
Don, yeah.
Eight
Don has
boys.
A big family, and they were all bakers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I think there was 8 boys in that family, and all of them had bakeries in different parts of the state.
Oh, that is
a
cool.
lot of them around here still, but.
Were they all called Krieger's?
No. Oh.
Your favorite place, I want you to try and say it. Say it.
No, I won't.
You got it.
I won't do it.
You can do
you
it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Vermonwood. Oh, damn it. Burnham. Damn it. Burnham. I can never say it.
That was close.
Damn it. Every time I'm like, the one in the Burnhamwood area.
Old Burnhamwood, yes.
Okay, I'll never get it for the rest of my life. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Good. We wanted to show you the fryer.
Yeah.
And it's the smallest part of this whole place.
Okay, but it
pumps out the most product.
It sure does.
Yeah.
So
it also looks like the newest piece of equipment that you have.
Good job. Yeah, because the one that we got, we inherited. I mean, we've inherited all the oldest, worst stuff you could imagine.
Okay. You started your apron on fire, so we needed a new one.
Did it literally?
The fryer we had before Hannah and I started doing it, he turned around and his apron was on fire because it was literally an open flame in the bottom.
Oh,
we were okay, we need to get a new one.
Time to upgrade.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So look at this thing.
This is it.
How many donuts can you do at once in here?
You can fit up to 20 at a time.
Mm-hmm. And
24 is too many, and it gets squished, and then they're not as pretty.
And how long do they stay in there?
It's each donut is a little bit different, but everybody needs an even tan. That's really what you're going for. Everyone needs to be evenly tan on both sides.
It's when you're at the beach, you sit on your back for a little bit, and then you got to flip over to your front.
Right.
That's what we're doing over here.
Moms, have really white backs because
they have to watch their kids in the pool, and they don't ever get to turn around.
I like to put sugary glaze on myself as sunscreen. So
yeah, and then you take these; they look like drumsticks.
Uh huh. Big chopsticks on
them. Yeah, and you flip them all around.
Cool. Okay.
We were just recently at a food show, a baking food show of one of our distributors, and there was a guy who was trying to sell us donuts because all donuts really are made from a factory and then shipped to places, and then they just thaw them and
warm them up.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkin' Donuts, for example.
And so this guy.
So they aren't actually made at Dunkin' Donuts?
They sure aren't.
They ship them in and then they just warm them up?
They do.
And
this guy.
This is not pre-made batter here.
No. We're hand making this.
Yeah. And Hannah, your dad used to teach at John Muir Middle School. History. Hank McAvoy, right?
Are you having a flashback?
Yes, I am. God rest his soul. Yeah.
Yes.
Great guy.
Did you have him?
I did have him.
Did he made you memorize your social security number?
One thing I remember about your father when I did have his class, and he was great, and he would say, I think every class he would say, I want you all to take copious notes. And that's how I learned the word copious.
I bet that's been really useful for you.
Yeah. It served me well in many interviews, job interviews. Yeah, so what else do you guys do back here in the kitchen then?
Okay, so then this is where we finish off the donuts. So this is like all the sprinkles you'll ever see in your whole life. Okay. So, you know, six shelves of sprinkles. Yeah. And so we frost and sprinkle all the things. That's where we do our filled donuts in those hoppers, that thing. And then
to that point, you know, I'm eating a, what's the donut? Is it a L'Eclair that's packed with all the goo inside of it?
What kind of goo? Describe your goo.
Yeah. What are the donuts like? Is it a Long John that has the filling in it?
What
or
kind of filling? There's a few.
You know, cherry. Let's just take cherry filling. Okay.
Well, the raspberry. The raspberry.
All right. A jelly donut.
You know, a jelly donut. Okay.
Because usually I like the ones without the goo in them, you know?
So all the goo comes out of that hopper right there.
Okay. So you do them in the fryer and then you just pump the goo in there? Yeah. Is that how that works?
We'll give you a little
goo lesson.
Kind of goo lesson.
Okay.
So, well, we do have two more hoppers in the fridge filled with different.
So you don't have to take anything out of the donut and you don't have to do anything differently with the donut.
We do make our own fillings, which most places don't.
We have our own frosting.
You hear that, Dunkin' Donuts?
which is you know, a lot more time consuming than buying. Most people buy it out of a bucket and then you just spread it on, but we make all of the icing, all of the frosting, all of the fillings by ourselves. But these little things, I don't
know.
Tubes.
Yeah. It's like something from a doctor's office.
Those go in here and then this turns on and this button, you just pierce the donuts there and then shoots it inside of there.
Paul, did you ever see one of those?
I never have seen one of those.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the equipment in here looks like OG except for that fryer.
It's super OG.
Yeah. Cool.
Every single day we cross our fingers and we're like, for the love of God, please don't break down and die.
Would you guys say that the business itself is going better than you expected, as well as you expected, worse than you expected?
Well, I think that, part of the reason we are who we are is because we have no expectations.
Okay.
Again, just like jump off the deep end and wish for the best.
Yeah.
So I guess in saying that, I think that it probably has been better than we thought because we didn't think anything, which was probably better.
Oh, good.
It's probably better that we didn't have any expectations.
Yeah.
So
a lesson in that. Don't have any expectations.
So profitable and you're making as much money as you want to make, or can we do a little more volume?
I mean, the thing that's hard is, like I said, we've grown out of the space a little bit. And when it comes to volume, I feel like we've a little bit been at the capacity of how much volume we can do.
Yeah.
How much we can store, how much we can, I mean, even with the equipment we have, because like most people aren't hand cutting donuts. They're having a machine cut them. You know, there's only so much time in a day to cut that many donuts by hand.
Right.
So even when we talk about doing the food truck and trying to bring donuts, let's say somewhere else, it's like we're kind of at capacity of where we can put donuts, where we can, like, you know, even freezer space of where we can freeze donuts until we pull them the next day to start proofing them. Just a little bit of space issues. And
you're at max throughput.
Yeah. And it is a lot of labor because everything we do is made from scratch and is like made by us, and it requires a lot of time.
Would you still call it a labor of love?
Because, you know, we could easily say, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. Like I said, when we went to that food show, a lot of people, when we told people we're making things from scratch, they're like, oh my gosh, nobody does that. That's so dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
that's so dumb?
Yes, they were there. Like,
seems
that's
cool.
Dumb. That's dumb because it's not profitable. It's
you
too
can't
much
get the
labor.
Volume that you want.
You know, who doesn't think it's dumb is all your customers.
Yeah,
that's a real jewel.
But they are like, we got back to our hotel that night and we're like, oh my God, are we actually dumb?
Why are we the dumb ones?
They all called us dumb.
For making things from scratch. Like, I don't know. We do love it so much and we don't want to change the product because, like, we go and eat a donut somewhere else and I'm like, ugh.
You spit it out.
I do. Yeah. Spit it out and I'm like, that's terrible.
What do your kids think? You got seven of these rugrats running around.
A handful of donut snobs. Really.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Well, unfortunately, both of you have kids in one of my kids' class, so they're also going to be donut snobs.
Yeah, they're gonna be total donuts now.
My kids bringing donuts for the Christmas party and stuff.
Yeah, it's like these glaziers at Quick Trip. Love you, Quick Trip, but no, thank you.
It doesn't compare.
Before we leave, you have a gift for us here. I see. What kind of donut is this?
This is the Nutty Cake Donut, and I dream about this donut. And every morning I fight the good fight not to eat it, and I fail almost every morning. I eat one every morning.
Really?
I sort of hate myself for it, but I also just I'm not gonna not do it. You will not experience your coffee the same way without that Nutty Cake Donut. It's so good.
I'm gonna
go
get a cup of coffee just so I can eat this.
It's sweet. It's salty. It's everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah, and the food truck is called Two Broads and a Baker.
Yeah, we're the Broads. In case you were wondering.
All right, got it. So what's next? What's in the future? You got this spot. You've got the Two Broads and a Baker food truck. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're excited to utilize the food truck, you know, this spring and summer, and we're hoping to pop up in some different areas around town and maybe even throw in a few different things outside of breakfast sandwiches and donuts. So,
what's your best-selling donut?
Oh, that's a great question. The Nutty Cake Donut.
I don't know if it's the best-selling. Sure.
It's best-tasting?
I mean, we both are partial to it. Yeah.
Okay. Also my 5-year-old.
Yeah. All right. But I would say people love the blueberry cream cheese donut.
Yeah, it is. That is a good one.
We are also partial to the cream cheese donut, just plain cream cheese donut. Mm-hmm.
And what's your biggest regrets? Any regret since you've started?
That's a great question.
We try. Really think about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, because like, you know, we're like always like glass half full people. I don't notice.
Your social media is on fire, by the way.
I've ever sat and thought about what my biggest regret is.
Yeah, huh. I don't know. I actually never have thought.
I always like to end interviews on down notes.
Yeah. We're trying to bring it down really by the end of it.
This felt really great until now.
And now we don't have an answer, so now we look dumb. Okay,
we're being asked to leave now, Ryan.
All right, come visit the dumbest bakery in town. No, this has been a real treat. And on behalf of all of Wassonians, thank you for keeping the Krieger tradition alive. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Kathleen and Hannah, it's Krieger's Bakery.
Let's eat some donuts.
If you want to find all the cops, they're hanging out in the donut shop. They sing and dance. They spin the club rooms down the block. Gremlin and the Chinese know. They walk the line like the gypsy, and all the cops in the donut shop say. Walk like an Egyptian. Walk like an Egyptian.
The Wausau Business Show.
Why should your business consider Incredible Bank? It's simple. We'll help you do the incredible. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a growth-focused business pro looking to expand, or a nonprofit founder dedicated to bettering your community, we have the products, services, and commitment to help you achieve your goals. Discover how we can power your success. Visit IncredibleBank.com or stop by one of our branches today. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
Hey, folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Cripescast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
I love it in your room at night, y'all. Gets through to me in the warm glow of the candlelight. Oh, I wonder what you're gonna do to me. I'm alive when I'm with you. I'll do anything you want me to. In your room.
Oh, all right, I'm gonna try this. Go
donut.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm. Just gonna. She said she salivates over them. What was the word?
Dreams about it at night. That good, huh? He's really enjoying it.
Which one are you gonna have?
Give me a bite of that.
That is good with a cup of coffee.
I like to move it, move it. You like to move it.
It's all Wausau, all the time. The Wausau Business Show is on the air. I am listening. This is Paul. He's listening too.
I'm listening.
Are you? Yep. Thank you.
We're
Thank
all
you
listening.
For listening. Let's all listen.
I'm listening.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
sounds
pretty good. Sound pretty good.
Okay, we got a Wausau business rumor.
All right, my favorite part.
Whitewater Music Hall in downtown Wausau is shutting down.
Yeah, I heard that.
They said they faced and managed many immense challenges in their time here. They always did their very best to evolve and adapt at every twist of the plot, and now they must turn the page. They moved here from Austin to start this up.
Yeah, that's right. Sad to see them go, for sure.
Because that place is very cool, and they poured their heart and soul into that joint, and it was cool inside there, the way that they remodeled it and everything, and they had the best coffee in town, and then they stopped serving the coffee for a while because that didn't work out.
Right.
And they had, you know, they were brewing their own beer, and they had, we went to a Charlie Parr concert there, which was awesome. And it was a real gem in downtown Wausau. Now the building is for sale, and I don't know what they're, if they're selling the business, but I, you know, one of the things that I've seen happen is that people will just shut their business down when they move or go out of business. They'll shut it down instead of trying to sell the business entity itself versus selling the building.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish some of these business owners would try to sell their business even if they don't own the building itself, rather than just closing, because sometimes if you're a business owner and you just want to get out, maybe the business is profitable, but you just kind of want to do something else.
Right.
A lot of times people will just be like, oh, all right, I'm going to dissolve this and shut it down while it's still cash flowing positively.
Sure.
And they don't know how to sell it, so they'll just walk away. But a lot of times you can deal with a local realtor or something like that that will actually do a business to business deal. So hopefully Whitewater Music Hall, maybe somebody will buy it.
Yeah, maybe they can consider that option and sell the place and keep the business open.
Yeah, but pretty sad because it was a cool place to hang out. But
and they hosted the farmer's market in the winter.
Great food truck out there. The old Reliable used to park out there during the farmer's market.
Sure.
And have breakfast and things. But all the best to Kelly and her sister there at Whitewater Music Hall. We wish you guys the best.
For sure.
Oh, and by the way, thank you to the Bengals this week, who were responsible for all of our bumper music in and out of every commercial break.
Yeah, thanks for the contribution, ladies.
We love you, Bengals.
Yeah.
The Bengals had some of the most played songs on the Hot FM.
95.5 WIMC.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
With Duff Damos and Bill Mitchell and Jammin' Jimmy Clark.
Oh, the whole gang.
They broke up because there was some controversy about which girl was the lead singer.
Go ahead.
It might be pronounced the Bengals.
The Bengals.
Versus the Bengals. I don't know. But
or the Bengals, the Cincinnati football team.
Yeah, they split in 1989.
Okay.
Because Susanna Hoffs was like the lead singer.
That's who I thought the lead singer was.
But the other girls in the band didn't like that Suzanne was getting all the credit for the lead singer role.
Oh, controversy.
So they split up.
Okay,
that's done. Over.
89.
Start. All these hits, all the success. That's it. We're out.
It blows my mind when successful bands break up like that.
Yeah.
They left a lot of money on the table.
So, ladies, if you're listening, we're looking forward to the comeback tour.
Maybe the 40th anniversary in 2029, they'll come back. Who knows?
Some of their songs Paul Simon wrote.
I did not know that.
Little known fact.
Right.
And we have a Wausau Business Show announcement, Paul.
I love these.
We are proud to announce the Wausau Business Show High Octane Business Blend of Coffee.
Right. High
you
octane.
Can find it at your grocer's coming soon. All proceeds benefit the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin.
As always.
It's going to be a special blend. The Pinery and Roastar have helped us out with this.
Awesome.
Pinery Coffee Shop and Roastar. So thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
And you can find it soon. Coming soon to a retailer near you. It's the Wausau Business Show High Octane Business Blend of Coffee. I never figured out why they don't do like more business blends of coffee. Like coffee is for you in the morning when you go into work or business.
Yeah.
And it fuels your day. There should be a brand of coffee for construction workers. Coffee for the office.
Right.
Coffee for plumbing.
Right. Coffee for dentistry.
Well, we've got one for the Wausau Business Show Business Blend.
Yeah.
And so look for that coming soon to a retailer near you.
Can't wait.
Next week on the show, who do we have, Paul?
Next week, we're going to Granite Peak to talk to the Skinners and some other folks, some other very important folks of that organization. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. In the meantime, I'm going to finish this Nick Butler book up.
Oh, yeah. He's got a new book out.
Yeah. It's called 40 Year Kiss.
Okay. That's a long kiss on Valentine's Day.
Mwah.
I'm right in the middle of it, Nick, if you're listening, and oh, it almost had me teared up at one point.
Wow, okay, it's a tearjerker.
Yeah, it is. It is a good book. I'll the 40-Year Kiss. Nicholas Butler has a new book. If you haven't listened to our episode, we went out to Nick's
Beautiful farmhouse
in Eau Claire and talked to him for a while. That was episode like 5, I think, of the Wausau Business Show, and hopefully he'll be on talking about the 40-Year Kiss. Rumor has it he's coming to Wausau to sign some books and hang
Yaki
out.
Bookstore?
Potentially, okay. There might be some stuff in the works.
Okay.
So until next week, when we're high atop Granite Peak, literally.
Yeah. We're going to be broadcasting from there and up there on the lift, yeah. I think.
From high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. The end!
Double wide quick stop, midnight tea top, Jack in her cherry coat town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, kicking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to LA. We were teenage dreams.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved 2025.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.